This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And with that ringing endorsement, you're listening to Hot Start here on EAA Radio. Yep.
And we're still powered by steam.
Powered by steam today. Yep. Tomorrow we'll be powered by coffee.
Coffee,
and lack of sleep.
Definitely.
Joining us is Alan Arcus of Shorefly.
Alan, he's an engineer for this Shorefly project.
He's an engineer?
An engineer.
Well, really?
Yeah.
He has a slide rule?
I don't know. Well, he's got a computer, but hopefully it doesn't run Windows 10.
Hopefully it doesn't run on Steam.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Anyway, Shorefly is a man-carrying, well, they're saying personal helicopter.
Personal helicopter.
Let's say based on drone technology. Would that be fair?
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like I'm here with Click and Clack of the aviation industry.
Yeah, we try.
Been compared to that.
They're not steam-powered, though. We're much higher tech.
That's right. This is an interesting concept, gentlemen, because what you're doing is you're essentially taking the multi-rotor, copter.
Why do they call them rotors? They're actually propellers. They're fixed-pitch propellers.
Don't know.
Rotors are things with linkages and moving, and complicated. These are just big plastic model airplane propellers. Let's get it right.
Wait a minute. I'll bet you dollars at donuts, though, that there's a lot of carbon fiber going on in here.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it's a neat concept.
Hey, I got an idea. Why don't we let Alan talk?
There's an idea. Alan, what do you got?
Well, Shorefly is our take at the helicopter industry to make something that's much easier to fly. Doesn't require all the skill of a helicopter pilot. We wanted to make something that could fly similar to a drone and have all the stability control embedded in it. We also wanted something that would be a lot, potentially a lot safer with redundancy all throughout. So no single point of failure, basically.
That's a good philosophy. I like that philosophy.
Yeah.
You're also doing something completely different in that you're carrying along a generator. So your power reserves are much greater, if you want to call it that.
That's right. So Workhorse has been in the electric vehicle industry for about eight or 9 years, and we've learned a lot about working with batteries in that process, and realized very quickly that it's going to be tough to fly for very long just on batteries, at least with the current technology. So we've put a 200 horsepower engine in the back that generates 150 kilowatts electric power that's distributed straight to all eight props. We do have a battery on board that gives you about 5 minutes of flight time, and if your generator runs out of gas or something like that.
What are the projected altitudes that you would expect these machines to cruise at and operate at?
Well, we think we're going to have a strategy where we software limit the height above ground to about 4,000 feet. And that's really just to make sure you have enough time to safely land if you run out of gas.
Right, that 5 minute reserve.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, but elevation wise, it's not a pressurized cabin, so we'll be sub 12,000 feet.
Well, now here's the next question. That's 4,000 AGL.
That's right.
Obviously, if I'm in Denver, I might have a problem just getting off the ground.
Denver. Yeah, you'll be at
mile high.
Yeah.
So
right.
You can go up. Yeah, you can go up to 9,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then that's, your propeller efficiency and performance obviously drops as you increase altitude. So that's a whole other can of worms in itself. Just making sure the performance is still there.
Yeah, but your power to spin it faster also would go down. So, we could see potentially having different propeller setups that have a different alpha angle on them to accommodate that.
The high altitude version.
You'd have one high altitude version. Interesting concept here. I like the fact you've got a ballistic parachute on this thing. Your components, your motors and your propellers and your drive systems, are these all off-the-shelf stuff or is this custom-made for you guys?
The motors and the electrical components are off-the-shelf. The propellers we're developing right now, the ones that are on the craft right now, are just sort of a mock-up. We've started testing with them, and we have verified that the thrust is adequate, but we feel we can make something that has a better efficiency if we make our own. So we're going to be working with some propeller manufacturers on that.
Very good. Very good.
What kind of RPM are you going to be seeing on these electric motors?
Around 2,000 RPM is where we've been testing. The upper and lower will spin at different speeds to maximize the efficiency, power to thrust ratio.
Because the lower one is essentially operating in thicker air because of the upper's blast?
That and also the, you know, they're counter rotating.
Right.
So the upper one, you know, it basically swirls the air that, so the lower one can spin slower and run at a lower power level for the same amount of thrust.
Right. Right. Okay. Single place?
It's got two seats.
Okay. And it doesn't need wheel chocks. It doesn't have any wheels.
Do you see a future in perhaps larger versions of this for, say, like power line use and stuff, you know, remote applications?
Yes. We've had a lot of interest in a heavy lift version that could carry heavy equipment. And, you know, we are exploring those. You know, it could be kind of an add-on module on top to lift more, you know, from using the same basic chassis.
Right, so you could literally stack two of them, maybe offset the booms 90 degrees.
Exactly.
And away you go.
Yep.
And master-slave control.
And a bigger generator in the back.
Yep, so, you know, having multiple engine options wouldn't be hard for us to accommodate, you know, having a, you know, maybe a, you know, instead of a 200 horsepower, maybe we have a 300 horsepower version or something like that.
Or dual 200s.
Yeah. Yeah. You could put a bigger Honda generator in the back of the
thing. Yeah, right. That's powered by Honda.
Yeah.
You got to get the one with the big fuel tank, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So what is the design goal endurance?
Well, we have about an hour of flight time, about 70 miles of range. So speed is about 70 miles per hour, we believe at this point.
Wow, that'd be a great way to get to work.
You know, a lot of the multi-rotors that are being flown via radio control nowadays, they have a stabilization system on them that makes it so simple to fly. Is the SureFly, is that going to have a stability system as well?
Yes, it is. So that our CEO came up with the idea based on our experience with delivery drones and just how stable they fly. He's not a pilot, a helicopter pilot, but he wants to fly a helicopter. So we wanted something that, you know, is very easy to fly. So if you let go of the controls, the idea would it would just hold itself in position just like a drone does today. And the pilot's inputs are just basically telling our computer where the pilot wants to go and the control system and the stability system figure out how to, you know, what speeds to run all the props at to do that.
Right. And, of course, you could also fully automate the flight path at that point with a GPS.
You could.
And to go here, and then give me my pizza.
Yep. Yeah, that's probably where all this is going eventually. But you know, there's a lot of laws that need to come into play and also technology to help everybody coordinate the airspace.
How many flights have you done so far?
We haven't flown yet,
uh-huh.
So we're as we speak. We have engineers in our Cincinnati and Indiana offices working on preparing a mule for the first flight. That's where we're going to test a lot of the stability control equipment and software, and so we expect within a month or so we should be flying the mule once we work out all the systems. And feel comfortable with it, we'll load the same equipment onto the craft that's here at Oshkosh, and you know, we're hoping by the end of the year we'll be flying that.
Well, wow. What about the FAA? How are they going to look at this thing?
You know, we've met with them a few times. They actually stopped by our booth, and they're actually very receptive to this. You know, I think you know, they. We need to find a path to get to certification, and there isn't a really clear one at this point, but they've said that they would be happy to work with us through that, and you know, potentially we might do kind of a special certification where we pull applicable rules from other types, and you know, they want to accommodate this because they see that there's going to be a lot more of this sort of craft in the future.
Right, it's coming whether they want it or not.
Yeah, and that opens up another question. Are you guys looking at the home-built market by any chance?
We haven't yet, but that's, you know, being here in Oshkosh, we have a lot of pilots who are interested in that, yep. And we've had a lot of suggestions to go in that direction. So it's something we need to talk about when we get...
Well, I guess once you get one flying and work all that, then you can say, do you think we can make a kit out of this? I don't know.
It'd be interesting. And I'm hoping that when you guys do get one of these flying, that you're going to bring it here to Oshkosh and demonstrate it for us.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
We would love to see it.
We plan to.
You have a website that people can find out more?
Sure. It's workhorse.com. And we have a section for SureFly. There's actually a pre-order program, so if anybody wants to get their spot in the line, it's $1,000, fully refundable. You know, you can change your mind later. We're really just doing this to try to gauge interest, and you know, the more people that sign up, it's gonna help us to get the investment needed to take this all the way to the finish line.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us, Alan Arcus of SureFly. Mm. And don't forget to check out that website. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.